the Southern Highlanders. A work that God approves has been done in the South. God has wrought with the workers, but there is much more to be done. Every movement made in this field must be made intelligently. There are men who can do acceptable service in the South, but it is impossible for those who have not visited this field, who have not gained an experience in working for those in the South, to understand what this work demands. The work will not be done by those who wait for all difficulties to be removed. In the fear of the Lord, go to work for this neglected, unworked field. As you strive to do something, you will receive help from on high. You are not alone. Christ declares, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Manuscript 1902. If there are any people in the world who cannot help themselves, it is the people of the South, a portion of the whites as well as the colored race. The necessity for work among the poor whites is just as great as the necessity for work among the colored people. From an address before the General Conference of 1901. The value of a layman's work in a needy community. In speaking of talented men, we usually think of those who have remarkable gifts which enable them to do large things. Too often, we think that only a favored few, men of superior genius and intellectual capabilities, can be called talented. But in Christ's parable of the talents are included all responsible human agents, from the humblest and poorest in this world's goods to those who are entrusted with talents of means and of intellect. The Lord give talents proportionate to the several capabilities of His children. To every man is given his work. Those who do their duty to the best of their ability, using their talents aright in a much-needed work, show what hundreds of others could do if they only would. God has been pleased with the work that Brother Blank has done in arousing an interest in the community in which he settled after going south. Reference is here made to the efforts of one of the first of Seventh-day Adventist laborers to undertake mission work among the poor whites in the South. The Lord has accepted his efforts to trade upon his talents. As he has built his plain, unpretentious buildings, heavenly angels have been his helpers. It is this kind of work that makes a good impression on the minds of unbelievers. "Let your light so shine before men," the Savior says, "that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The Lord has graciously fitted Brother Blank to do a certain work. Not all men can do the work that he, by his Christian experience, is able to do. He can do excellent work in opening new fields, beginning in a humble way, and meeting the people where they are, coarse and rough though some of them may be. Working with Christ, he can adapt himself to the situation, winning the hearts of many. He is able to reach after souls and to draw them into the fold. In many places, he can find opportunity to read and comment upon the Bible to children and to older people. He can labor for the conversion of souls. The Lord desires him to present the important points of truth to the people in object lessons, here a little and there a little. He is to remember that the Lord Jesus is the one who moves upon the heart. If he walks humbly with God, the Lord will continue to use him, giving him health and strength to do his appointed work. Our brother is to prepare the way in new fields for others to work. He should be given every possible encouragement to go forward and in his humble way reveal his loyalty to principle and his integrity to God. Let the truth fall from his lips in simple prayers and talks. In his unpretentious way, he can reach a class that ministers generally cannot touch. Brother Blank is not to think that he has ability to do the most difficult work, the greatest service. Let him do a small work and see it grow under his hand. In the past, the Lord has blessed him in doing his appointed work, and he will still bless him if he continues to work in the same line. Let him keep at the work by which, through faithfulness, he has attained success. So long as Brother Blank puts his trust in God alone, he will be given victory after victory. Angels of God will go before him. Let him encourage others to unite with him in pioneer work, planning with them to open new fields successfully and to erect humble church and school buildings. In teaching others to do what he has done, he will be engaged in an educational work of the highest value. No line of work will be of more telling advantage to the southern field than will be the establishment of small schools. Let our people in the South wake up to the importance of this matter. True, it is not an easy work, but we should not neglect to take up this work because it is fraught with perplexity. Through faithful performance of duty, trading on the farthings entrusted to him, every worker may secure the recognition of heaven. He who diligently uses his talent aright in doing the work that needs to be done, need never feel that in order to be appreciated, he must do a higher work for which he is not so well fitted. Steady progress in a good work, the frequent repetition of one kind of faithful service, is of more value in God's sight than the doing of one great work, and wins for his children a good report, giving character to their efforts. Those who are true and faithful to their divinely appointed duties are not fitful, but steadfast in purpose, pressing their way through evil as well as good reports. They are instant in season and out of season. The Church of God is made up of many vessels, both large and small. The Lord works through the men and women who are willing to be used. He will bless them in doing the work that has brought blessing to many in the past, the work of seeking to save souls ready to perish. In all the Lord's arrangements, there is nothing more beautiful than his plan of giving to men and women a diversity of gifts. The church is his garden, adorned with a variety of trees, plants, and flowers. He does not expect the hyssop to assume the proportions of the cedar, nor the olive to reach the height of the stately palm. Many have received but a limited religious and intellectual training, but God has a work for this class to do if they will labor in humility, trusting in him. From letters written in 1902 to a worker among the poor whites in the South. Humble men laboring in simplicity. There are men who will spend and be spent to win souls to Christ. In obedience to the Great Commission, many will go forth to work for the Master. Under the ministration of angels, common men will be moved by the Spirit of God to warn people in the highways and byways. They are to be strengthened and encouraged, and as fast as possible prepared for labor, that success may crown their efforts. These workers are trees of the Lord's planting. In a peculiar sense, they bear fruit equal to the fruit borne by the apostles. They receive a reward in this life, and a glorious reward awaits them in the future life. Humble men, who do not trust in their great gifts, but who work in simplicity, trusting always in God, will share in the joy of the Savior. Their persevering prayers will bring souls to the cross. Then go forth, brethren. Do your best humbly and sincerely, and God will work with you. Establishing training schools near Nashville, Tennessee. We should enter at once upon the establishment, in suitable places near Nashville, of a school for white people and a school for colored people. The workers in Nashville will gain influence from these working centers. The teachers in these schools can help the work in Nashville. I have been instructed that the land on which our schools shall be established should be near enough to Nashville that there may be a connection between the schools and the workers in Nashville. From a letter written in 1904 to the president of the General Conference. The uneducated people of the South need the knowledge of the gospel just as verily as do the heathen in far-off lands. God requires us to study how we may reach the neglected classes of the white and the colored people in the South, and with all the skill we can gain, to work for the souls of these men and women. In connection with the work in Nashville, I wish to speak of the schoolwork that Brethren Sutherland and Megan are planning to do. This was written in 1904. I was surprised when, in speaking of the work they wished to do in the South, they spoke of establishing a school in some place a long way from Nashville. From the light given me, I knew that this would not be the right thing to do, and I told them so. The work that these brethren can do, because of the experience gained at Berrien Springs, is to be carried on within easy access of Nashville, for Nashville has not yet been worked as it should be. And it will be a great blessing to the workers in the school to be near enough to Nashville to be able to counsel with the workers there. In searching for a place for the school, the brethren found a farm of 400 acres for sale, about 9 miles from Nashville. The size of the farm, its situation, the distance that it is from Nashville, and the moderate sum for which it could be purchased seemed to point it out as the very place for the school work. We advised that this place be purchased. I knew that all the land would ultimately be needed. For the work of the students and to provide homes for the teachers, such land can be used advantageously. And as our work advances, a portion of this tract may be required for a country sanitarium. The plan upon which our brethren propose to work is to select some of the best and most substantial young men and women from Berrien Springs and other places in the North, who believe that God has called them to the work in the South, and give them a brief training as teachers. Thorough instruction will be given in Bible study, physiology, and the history of our message, and special instruction in agriculture will be given. It is hoped that many of these students will eventually connect with schools in various places in the South. In connection with these schools, there will be land that will be cultivated by teachers and students, and the proceeds from this work will be used for the support of the schools. As these brethren go to the South to take hold of pioneer work in a difficult field, we ask our people to make their work as effective as possible by assisting them in the establishment of the new school near Nashville. Brethren and sisters, the poverty and the needs of the Southern field call urgently for your assistance. There is a great work to be done in that field, and we ask you to act your part. The Review and Herald, August 18, 1904. Go work today. The standard of truth is to be lifted in new territories in the South. School buildings, humble but neat, are to be erected in various places. Churches are to be established. Some of the school buildings may be erected by the students themselves under the instruction of men who understand this line of work. If the work of instruction is faithfully done, every stroke can be made to tell in the education of the students. And the buildings will be an object lesson to those living in the community, as well as a channel through which souls will be converted to the truth. In the restrictions that have been placed on some who desired to do a definite work, many have found an excuse why they should not engage in active missionary work. I am bidden to bear my testimony against unnecessary restrictions being laid on those who desire to act a part in the work of the Lord. My brethren, stand out of the way of your fellow beings. Do not, by any act of yours, hinder the work that God would have done for the people of the South in bringing to them the light of the truth. Time is passing rapidly, and the truth has yet to go to thousands in this field. Do not hinder, but pray and work that God may use his human agencies as he designs. There are among our church members faithful souls who feel a burden for those who know not the truth for this time. But one will say to such, "The conference will not support you if you go here or there." To such I would say, pray to God for guidance as to where you shall go. Follow the directions of the Holy Spirit and go, whether the conference will pay your expenses or not. Go work today in my vineyard, Christ commands. When you have done your work in one place, go to another. Angels of God will go with you if you follow the leadings of the Spirit. To our brethren and sisters in America, the call must go to awake. There is missionary work to be done in this country, as verily as in any heathen land. When you have made your donation for the work in foreign fields, do not stop thinking you have done all your duty. You are to be a light in the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There is no time to spend in frivolity. Deny self and dress and live simply. Remember that there is a message to be borne to those who are in darkness, a work to be done for the Master. The Lord will bless all who will take part in the work of preparing a people to meet Him in peace. We should be terribly in earnest. Lay your plans before God. Tell Him that you desire to serve Him. Give up your desires to Him, and He will teach you His way. Unpublished letter, September 23, 1907. A visit to Highland schools.
On my way to Washington, I had some experience in going not only to the highways, but also to the hedges. I saw something of the work that is being done in the mission schools near Nashville. Little companies of workers are going out into the mountains and laboring for those who have not heard the message. And here and there, little companies of believers are being raised up. Who would dare to put their hand on such workers and say, "You must not labor thus, it costs too much"? Can it compare with the sacrifice that Christ made in order to save perishing souls? My brethren and sisters, I ask you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth to take your light from under the bushel and let it shine forth that others may be profited. From an address at the General Conference of 1909, published in the General Conference Bulletin, May 17, 1909. Words of encouragement to self-supporting workers. Portion of an address to the teachers and students of the Madison, Tennessee School, April 26, 1909. Christ meant much when he said, "God out into the highways and the hedges." You must not neglect the highways. You must bring the truth before those in the highways. Neither are you to neglect those that are in the hedges. In addition to the work that must be done in the great cities, there is a work to be performed for those that are scattered all through the regions round about. And how can we reach them? One important means of accomplishing this work is found in the establishment of small schools in needy communities. Even if there are but a few persons in a place, some means of reaching them should be devised. Once let the missionary spirit take hold of men and women, young and old, and we shall see many going into the highways and the hedges, and compelling the honest in heart to come in. Nearly 5 years ago, when we were searching for a site on which to locate a training school near Nashville, we visited this plantation that was afterwards secured. And I remember that when we first saw the place, we planned to go over it in carriages, some in one direction and some in another. And we looked to God to impress our minds as to whether this were the place He wished us to choose for a training center. For a time, the prospect looked forbidding. Nevertheless, the plantation was secured and the work was begun. The Lord would have the influence of this school widely extended by means of the establishment of small mission schools in needy settlements in the hills, where consecrated teachers may open the scriptures to hungry souls and let the light of life shine forth to those that are in darkness. This is the very work that Christ did. He traveled from place to place and labored for souls. And who was he? The one equal with the Father. The Lord Jesus has set us an example. As you engage in schoolwork in these needy communities, do not let any man come in to discourage you by saying, "Why do you spend your time in this way? Why not do a larger and more important work in a broader field?" Some, it is true, must plan to look forward to the time when they will do a large work in response to general calls. We feel an earnest interest in these schools. There is a wide field before us in the establishment of family mission schools. Let those who feel the burden of souls resting upon them go out and do house-to-house work, and teach the people precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, gradually leading them into the full light of Bible truth. This is what we had to do in the early days of the message. As earnest efforts are put forth, the Lord will let His blessing rest upon the workers, and upon those who are seeking for an understanding of the truth as it is in the Word of God. There are precious truths, glorious truths, in God's Word, and it is our privilege to bring these truths before the people. In those parts of the field where many cannot attend meetings far away from their homes, we can bring the truth to them personally, and can work with them in simplicity. As you go out into the highways and the hedges, let no minister of the gospel say to you, "Why do ye so?" We have for our example the ministry of Christ on this earth. We are to remove our lights from under the coverings that hide them from others, and let them shine forth amid the moral darkness. Ye are laborers together with God. Those who expect to wear at last a crown of life must in this life be light bearers. I am glad that our people are established here at Madison. I am glad to meet these workers here who are offering themselves to go to different places. God's work is to advance steadily. His truth is to triumph. To every believer we would say, let no one stand in the way. Say not, we cannot afford to work in a sparsely settled field and largely in a self-supporting way, when out in the world are great fields where we might reach multitudes. And let none say, we cannot afford to sustain you in an effort to work in those out-of-the-way places. What? Cannot afford it? You cannot afford not to work in these isolated places. And if you neglect such fields, the time will come when you will wish that you had afforded it. There is a world to be saved. Let some of our consecrated teachers go out into the highways and the hedges and compel the honest in heart to come in, not by physical force, oh no, but with the weight of evidence as presented in God's Word. Let no living soul, man, woman, or child, selfishly rest satisfied with a knowledge of the truth. There are honest-hearted men and women out in the hills that must be given the message of warning. There are those who cannot have the privilege of listening to the truth as it is often presented in large assemblies. These must be reached by personal effort. We each have a work to do for God, whatever may be our occupation. Those who are on their farms are not to think that it would be a waste of time for them to plan to go out and visit their neighbors and hold up before them the light of the truth for this time. For even if it does seem difficult to leave the farm work, yet we shall not lose financially because of spending time in helping others. There is a God in heaven that will bless our labors. To every man and to every woman He has given His work. We may cooperate with Christ by showing to others what it means to seek for eternal life as for hidden treasure. God has called upon us to do this kind of work, to look after the poor, the needy, the suffering, to be awake to the necessities of those in need of spiritual refreshment. to be ever ready to open the Scriptures to hungering souls.